The reading today is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus at the temple. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Father, as we worship you this morning, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. Amen. As I was looking at this reading for today, I thought about a number of things. It's funny how your mind churns up things for you. And I thought about celebration, which is what I understand Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is all about. But my 21st century mind and culture made me wonder. I mean, the kind of celebrations we've seen recently have been the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. I've got it right, I think. And soon we're going to have the coronation of King Charles and all this pomp and colour and grandeur. And you know, it wasn't like that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, was it? There was excitement, there was fun, there was praise. Jesus sitting on a colt. I think perhaps if we looked at our history books, we might expect a white charger or something like that. But there were people and children all around him, waving palm branches, laying their coats on the road. It's rather different. The other thing that came to my mind, and this is perhaps a little silly, with the coats on the road, was, do you remember your history when Walter Raleigh put his coat down over a puddle for Queen Elizabeth? So they tell us in history books. And the other thing I wondered about after last Sunday's sermon was, where does the armour of God fit into all this? So these are the trains of thought that I have been trying to draw together, and I hope it will make sense to you all. Who is Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt? Why all the fuss as he enters Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover feast, because this was a normal event. The Jews would come, if they were able, to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Do you know, we're able to follow the life of Jesus through the Gospels. And as we read, we find quite an amazing man. As a baby, he had to flee into exile so he wouldn't be murdered by Herod. As a teenager, he sat and absorbed the teaching of the rabbis in the temple at Jerusalem, where he went with his parents for the Passover. And he asked questions. Everyone was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Even at this stage, Jesus grew in favor with God and man. And he'd only been about 12 or 13 at that stage. As time went by in his life, he was known to be a healer, not just of the body, but of the whole person, compassionately recognizing the individual's needs on each different separate occasion. He collected a group of men around him, his disciples, whom he taught, and he explained his purposes for being here on earth. He was just and fair in his actions, but he irritated the scribes and the Pharisees by his actions and words. He was recognized by some as a great prophet. And remember, the Jews were expecting a Messiah, as told in Isaiah. He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fishes. He changed water into wine at a wedding. He raised Lazarus from the dead. That's just a few of the many, many things he did. And he walked alongside people where they were. It didn't matter if they were very lowly people, beggars in the gutter, whoever they were, he walked beside them. And he still does that today for each of us. He sees beyond the person's exterior. He sees inside us. And in my thinking, he wore God's armor all the time. I did ask some friends earlier this week, was he born with it or did he acquire it later on? I don't know what the answer is. But if we look at him, we see the experiences he had. He met face to face with rulers, authorities, and spiritual forces. We see and know this from his time in the wilderness, his temptations, his encounters with scribes, Pharisees, Jewish rulers, and his encounters with all kinds of different peoples and their needs. He wore the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. This was the very core of his being. He told his disciples what the truth is and said, I am the way, the truth, the life. As he walked, his feet indeed were fitted with the readiness to share the gospel of peace and truth to all men. He carried the shield of faith and used it to fight off the battles he had in the wilderness and later with the Jewish authorities and other spiritual forces in some of his healing encounters. The helmet of salvation, as he shared the good news with those who listened, telling us we can have life in all its fullness, forgiveness, our sin being washed away, our memories healed. He also carried the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He must have had God's armor secure and known how to use it to be the person he was. How do you wear your spiritual armor? I'm not expecting an answer. Think about it. He knew what was ahead of him when he came to Jerusalem to be delivered to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, who would condemn him to death. He would be mocked, flogged, crucified. And on the third day, he would be raised to life. He tried to tell his disciples this, But at that stage, they were really unable to take it in. I wonder if we could have taken that in, if we'd been there. We have the advantage of knowing about the resurrection, and that is wonderful. So he came, this man who was recognized by the crowds as a prophet and as the son of David. He asked his disciples to find a colt. He knew it would be there and that he would be able to have it right away. Colts apparently are traditionally used for judges to ride on, but they're also humble beasts of burden. Here is a man who knew everything down to the very last detail. The crowds came and knew about him. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us." How did they know? Well, it had been prophesied in Zechariah. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, on a colt, a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And Jesus expresses his humility by riding on a donkey. A humble king, but a divine warrior. Not quite what the Jews were hoping for, but, as we know, much, much better. Jesus enters Jerusalem not just as a human political figure, but as the Lord and King of all creation. The whole city is stirred and asks, "Who is this?" He comes with humility, but with presence, that here is a man who is so different. He comes as deliverer, an agent of judgment and justice. He comes as a compassionate man and judge. He brings forgiveness. He comes to be part of all of our lives, yours and mine. Jesus enters the temple, the holy place of worship which the Jews come to at Passover as they were able, and here he finds traders and money changers. People needed to buy sacrifices as part of their worship then, and they needed to change money because they could only buy these sacrifices with temple money. The scene is set for corruption, greed, and many money-making schemes. And these would all be at a cost to the travellers and pilgrims to Jerusalem for the feast. Jesus is angry as he quotes Isaiah, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." And with that, he turned over the tables of the money changers and let the sacrificial doves and things go free. That must have been quite a spectacle. Also in the temple, Jesus healed many people. But the chief priests and the teachers, seeing these many wonderful things and hearing the children shouting "Hosanna to the Son of David," were completely indignant. They were even more eager to see Jesus killed and out of the way. He was a threat to their authority. They thought, "Who does this man think he is, quoting scripture to us, yet breaking our laws and rules, but is so beloved by so many people, old and young?" Their authority was being challenged by an authority they didn't want to recognize, as it would show up the ways that they had suppressed and unjustly treated people by demanding they submit to their authority. Once again, Jesus challenges them in reply. It's almost as if he's saying, "Don't you know your scriptures? Or don't you want to believe what you are seeing?" And he left and went to Bethany. Jesus is laying the foundation for a new temple, not just the rebuilding of that temple in Jerusalem, but for the temple for the fulfillment of God's purposes for all creation. And we're part of that temple, that church, a new beginning, a new way of love, of living. The church, that is the people, as a living spectacle meant to reveal God's humble dominion and bring blessing to the world. That's us today. What a commission we have from him. Let me finish with the words of a song. In the stars, his handiwork I see. On the wind, he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me? I will celebrate Nativity, for it has a place in history. Sure, he came to set his people free. What is that to me? Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care and lived away out there. Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me. I hope you too have met him and continue meeting him wherever your life journey takes you as he walks beside you. If you haven't met him, please talk to one of us and ask him to meet you too. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, it's the start of Holy Week. It's the start of our Lord's fateful journey to Jerusalem. It's the start of the time when we reflect on the heart of the Christian message. It was in this holiest of weeks when Jesus was gathered in the upper room with his closest friends and followers that he shared what the early church calls a love feast. A sharing not just of bread and wine, but a sharing of a whole meal, a sharing of fellowship and togetherness. But it's within the context of that meal that Jesus took these common elements and filled them with new, profound, and eternal meaning. And all are welcome to take part in communion today, whether you're here for the first time or the 1,000th time or beyond. There is room around this table for all who desire to love and follow Jesus Christ. And a big part of communion is togetherness, unity with each other and with the Lord. And as a sign of that unity, we distribute the bread and distribute the cup, we hold them, and we take them together. And as we enter into Holy Week, this bread and this cup, they are anchor points for our lives as Christians. They keep us grounded in the reality and love of Jesus Christ. They remind us not just of now, but of the whole of the Christian life. They remind us of the waters of baptism and the Holy Spirit's sustaining presence in our lives through each and every day until we go and depart and be with the Lord forever. So we gather together at this table to remember Jesus Christ, to give thanks for his saving death and resurrection. We remember that the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the greatest signs we have of God's great faithfulness to us and to all who believe and trust in his name. So as we gather around this table, we pray for a true sense of reflection and unity with God and with each other and with the church throughout the world. May partaking of this sacrament today inspire us anew to live out our faith in our broken and hurting world so that others will come to know and trust the goodness and love of God in their own lives as well. And Jesus invites us to come to his table just as we are. We come with our whole stories to this table. We come with our strengths, we come with our weaknesses, we come with our faith, we come with our doubts, we come with our joy, we come with our sadness. Everything we are is welcome in this time. So as an affirmation of this, please join me in the responsive call to the table. Come to this table not because we must.
Because we may.
Not because we are strong.
Because we are weak.
Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right.
Because we need mercy and help.
Come because we love the Lord a little. Come because he loves us.
Gave himself for us.
Come and meet the risen Christ.
We are his
Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we have faith and we believe that you do meet us in this time. We have faith and we have trust when you proclaim in Scripture that this bread truly is your body and this wine truly is your blood, both given freely for our salvation and for the salvation of the whole world. In this time, we bring before you, Lord, all those parts of us that do not yet belong to you, all those parts that are not yet under the dominion of Jesus Christ. And we confess our unending need for you. We confess our need for your salvation in each of our lives. As we prepare to partake of this bread and this cup, we know that we ourselves are not worthy, but at one word from you, Lord Jesus, we are made clean, we are made right with God, and we are made whole. So in that spirit of confession and hope and faith, we now join together praying the words, Jesus, that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution recorded for us by Paul the Apostle when he said, I receive from the Lord, but I also deliver to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you partake of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And in response to Christ's saving actions for us, we do declare together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Bread and wine, body and blood, freely given, freely offered. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. take and eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for us. Do so in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant, sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all. And may the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace that surpasses all understanding, may be with us all in this time. Let us show each other now a sign of peace.